You have heard me say this 5,000 times. You probably think that you understand all the ramifications of what I mean by it. You've heard me say at least 5,000 times, God did not save you to climb Mount Everest. Now, you don't have to help God. Over the years, the idea has been permeated by preachers and teachers, everybody in general, that when you are saved and you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God, that you've got to put yourself in the forefront of the battle. You've got to get out ahead of everybody else. You've got to knock on every door in town. You've got to witness to every person that their blood's on your hands if you don't witness to them. And you've got to be a living power dynamo. And you've got to give all that you are and all that you have for Jesus. Well, certainly that sounds good. But the problem is a lot of preachers and a lot of people end up trying to help God rather than trying to let God help them. Now, I'm going to try to define as best I can from the closing words of the Apostle Paul what God wants from you. Now, it's taken me all these years to learn it. And I've been through all the years of trying to help God. We went to every door in town here when I first came to Dardanelle. We knocked on every door in town, every one of them. And we invited them to church. We wanted to witness to them about Jesus. And we went all over the population of this town. If you come in from the street over there, it's 3,684. You come in from these other directions, it's 3,621. It's been that way for 25 years. I suspect the population's around 4,000. We went to every house. We got a bus. We tried everything. But that's something I went through. So no one can ever accuse me of not being interested in saving souls. No one can ever accuse me of not having a burden for saving souls. But if you want to accuse me of something, you accuse me of studying the Word of God and becoming acutely aware of just exactly what God wants in my life. And furthermore, as your pastor, what he wants in your life and what he expects of you. Seeking the kingdom of God by fighting, finishing, and keeping as he commanded. Some people are on a continual guilt trip because they never think they're doing enough for God. Well, I stay on that guilt trip, and I never get to the point where I feel like I've done enough for God. I'm always looking for things that God's Word teaches me I need to be doing that I'm not doing. So I'm not telling you that you shouldn't go through life with a constant changing attitude toward God. And if you ever get to where you feel like, well, I'm doing just exactly what God's wanting, I don't need any more of this stuff, and I've reached the plane where I know what God wants, then that's when you really need God's help. But there's a way that God meant for us to act, to be, and to conduct ourselves as His children. Probably the greatest example in the Bible of a Christian life and the inward parts of a man being exposed and open to those to whom he wrote was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, God's Holy Spirit used him to show what was going on inside him. He wrote of it. And so you can look at Paul's life, and he said about three times that he was our example, meaning he was our example as he followed Christ. 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's about to have his head chopped off. And they always say that a man in his last few hours has the most serious thoughts of his life and tries to leave behind something that he thinks will be of the greatest value to those who are listening. I want you to notice what he said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I don't know how many rah, rah, sis, boom, bah sermons I've heard on this. I don't know how many sermons I've heard on this. I have fought a good fight. There's the Apostle Paul fighting all his life, and finally he won the victory. What you need to do is get out there and win the victory. Sounds like real good preaching. But I don't think that's what Paul was talking about at all. He said, I have finished my course. I've listened to rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, put churches on guilt trips, put people on guilt trips, put everybody on a guilt trip. But you need to get out there and you need to finish first in this race. You need to get out there and you need to start running, and you need to be the greatest Christian on this earth. You need to have the biggest church on this earth. You need to have the greatest number of followers. You need to have a mega church. And brother, you need to finish first in this race. I've heard that presented. That's not what Paul meant at all. But now the last thing is easy. He said, I have kept the faith. That's really what he wants from me. Why? He didn't say he won the fight, did he? He said, I fought a good fight. How long did he fight? From the time he was converted till he died. He kept right on fighting. He didn't say, I knocked the other fellow out. He didn't say, I caught him with a left hook that ninth round and I won that battle. I won it. Hallelujah. I won the fight. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say he won it. He just said he fought a good fight. You know, lots of times a man will fight against another man and the man will be a champion and the guy's rated 5-1 underdog. But lo and behold, he'll put up a real good fight in the last 15 rounds and he'll lose it on a decision. But he fought a good fight. Paul fought a fight all his life. We're going to talk about that fight. And we're going to talk about the fight in your life because God's not looking for anything spectacular from you. Most people think he is. He isn't. We're not capable of anything spectacular. Only God is. But we're going to talk about this fight. You don't always win. Sometimes you lose. Sometimes Paul lost. He said, I have finished my course. He didn't say, I finished first. I outrun all the rest of them. I'm the greatest of the apostles. He said, nobody ever ran a race like I did. He didn't say, I'm the winner. I'm the winner. And he didn't say to you, you need to be a winner. You need to be a winner. You're not a winner. You're not a loser. You don't want to be a loser in God's work. You need to be a winner. That's what I hear preachers preach. That's not what he's talking about. He said, I have finished my course. He said, I kept on running. I didn't stop running. And I died running. Look, you can't win every fight. You can't win every race. But you can keep on running and you can keep on fighting. If you keep on running and you keep on fighting, that's all God ever asked for. I have lost many battles with the flesh. I will lose many more. I have lost many races and I will lose other races. But I have never stopped running. Why? I can do that. That's about the only thing I'm capable of. There are other people far more adroit at this than I am. Far better men than I were. They're so far ahead of me in this race, I can't even count it. There are other people who have fought far better than I've ever fought for the Lord. So I can't win the fight. I can't be the greatest fighter. I can't be the greatest runner. But there's one thing Paul's talking about here. He didn't say he won the race. He said he finished it. When he died, he was still running. When he died, he was still fighting. But now we come to the third thing, and it's different from the rest. He said, I have kept the faith. By the grace of God and by the power of Jesus Christ inside me, that I can do. The other two, I'll fail. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ and His Spirit that indwells me, I can keep the faith. That's the one thing you can do. And you, at the end of your life, you can say, I kept the faith. You can't say, well, I fought for the faith. You kept it. Now, that's the one thing you can do. And it's the main thing that God wants from us. And yet in our churches, this is something that is put down, looked upon as lazy, shiftless, worthless, not on fire for Jesus. And yet it's the very thing that Jesus wanted. He said, I have fought a good fight. What kind of a fight was he talking about? The fight that you fight every morning when you get up, fight all day long. You lose. Sometimes you lose to the flesh. I can't always look at a pretty woman and just turn my eyes away. Sometimes I dwell. And I lose the battle. But I ask God for forgiveness. He forgives me, and I go on. I keep on fighting. Sometimes I stretch the truth. That's talk we call lying, but I call it stretch the truth. And it is stretching the truth. I just don't tell a blatant lie. You know, it's kind of like, what's your definition of is? What does is mean? Well, you've probably heard that. But in any case, the truth is, sometimes I lose. But believe me, the Holy Spirit always lets me know when I'm stretching the truth. And afterwards, I ask God to forgive me. And if he wants me to tell people that I stretch the truth, he lets me know. And otherwise, he said, it'll be all right. You didn't do a lot of harm. Well, go ahead. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I've got an inward man in me that's perfect. His name's Jesus Christ. I've got a new spirit that's perfect. But unfortunately, I've got a soul between that entity and my flesh. And there's a war that goes on in me daily. It was the fight. And it's a fight that Paul fought all his life. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing it into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I can't win this fight, but Jesus won it on the cross. He's the only man who ever won the fight, and he won it fair and square. And because he won it fair and square, he imputes to me his righteousness, he forgives me of my sins, and even though I can't live a perfect life, I can walk through life asking forgiving of my sins, But now, here's the kicker. This is what God's going to hold you accountable for, to keep on fighting. To keep on fighting against the flesh. You know what a lot of people do? They say, well, what's the use? I keep going to church and I'm sinning and I do this and how's God going to forgive me of this and God's going to forgive me of that? No. And they drop out. They say, what's the use? And they drop out of church. They quit serving God. And they say, what's the use? That's not fighting. I've been fighting this thing for ever since I was a child, especially since I got the Spirit of God within me 54 years ago, and I fight every day. Do I always win? No, I lose a lot. But the thing is, Paul said, I fought a good fight. Now, I can't make that assessment on my life now. But just before I die, I'll tell you whether I fought a good one or not, because I think the Spirit of God will let me know. But you can keep on fighting against the flesh. The second thing, he said, I have finished my course. Now, Paul was a man who didn't claim to win the race. But here's the way he ran it. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He said, I tried to run it in a certain manner, according to the way God directed. Not as uncertainly. He said, so fight I. It's talking about a runner goes along, and he puts his arm in synchronization, whereas his foot moves, his arms move in perfect balance with it, and he runs like this, and he stays in perfect balance. He doesn't just run around with his hands flopping in the air. It's all part. It's talking about control in a race. Moving your body movements, have every perfect coordination, perfect balance, hands moving in coordination with the movement of the legs. Not as uncertain, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. He didn't just throw his hands up and run around in a circle. He ran like a runner. I can do that. But there are going to be a lot of people that run the race better than I do. Here's what Paul was afraid of all his life. Any preacher that isn't afraid of this doesn't know the Bible very well. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It doesn't mean that Paul was going to be cast away from salvation. He was going to lose his salvation and go to hell. The word means unapproved. It means that he was thrown out of the race because he didn't run it the way he should. He was afraid he would become a castaway, not from salvation, but from the race of life. He was afraid he would drop out. Any preacher that's reached the point where he says, well, I'm here now, and brother, I'm never going to stop serving God, he better think twice, because I guarantee you, pride cometh before a fall. I myself should be a castaway. Did Paul win the race? Did he finish first? Well, God's going to decide who finished first and who didn't finish first and who did the best. But there is one thing that every one of you can do and I can do. We can keep on running. Doesn't matter where you finish. Keep on running. Let God decide where you finished. You'll never know until you get there anyway. But you can keep on running. God holds you accountable to continue fighting against your flesh all your life. You say, well, how do I do that? Do you know why I'm continually harping on faithfulness and being here when God's body assembles? That's fighting the fight. You're not fighting the fight when you cut yourself off from God's Word. Now, you could accuse me of saying, well, you're not feeding. I do feed the Word. There's Word fed in this church, and other teachers and preachers teach it. Here you get fed the Word of God. It strengthens you, and you can fight a better fight. You can fight it more consistently. You can get to where you win more battles than you lose. You'll never be perfect, but you can sure learn to win more battles than you won before you started getting faithful in church. When you're fighting a fight, it means when you get up in the morning and you say, well, I'd a lot rather do this or I'd a lot rather do that, you drag that carnal nature out of bed and you say, I'm fighting a fight, and you come down here to this church and you sit here and listen, and by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, the preachers and teachers in this church try to do what God wants. We try to preach what He wants, and we try to feed you the Word of God so that your carnal man will grow weaker and your spiritual man will grow stronger, so you can run a better race, so you can fight a better fight. He said, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection. That's but at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Then in Philippians 3:14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, I finished it, I've got to the end, I've reached the mark, now my life's here, I'm about ready to be ended, and I finally won the race, I got to the mark. No, he never said that. He said, I have finished my course. It simply means, I kept on running. I didn't quit. It simply means I kept on fighting. I never stopped fighting. You say, well, surely God wants more than that. That's all you're capable of. You're not capable of living above sin. You're not capable of running and finishing the race Jesus did. But you are capable of running, and you are capable of fighting, and you are capable of continuing. It may seem like a very small thing to you to come down here to this church and be regular and faithful in your attendance, and I give you my word before the Lord. When I first came here, it probably was because I wanted to say that I was a good pastor and the church had grown, and look at me, and don't you think I'm a good preacher, and I wanted to tell all the other preachers, just look how much this church has grown. You say, well, terrible. Listen, I'm just telling you the truth. When you're young, you can't help it. You're carnal. Those are the things that turn you on. But the Word of God has convinced me of something. You need to be faithful in God's church because that's fighting and that's running, and you can do that. Look on our church roll. Look on our church roll. And look at all those names on our church roll. There are a lot of them that have quit running. They have quit fighting. Whose fault is it? Theirs. God didn't ask them to climb Mount Everest. God didn't ask them to give everything they had. God just asked them to keep on running and keep on fighting, and they haven't been to church in years. They won't fight. They won't run. They're going to be judged for that. Paul was afraid he's going to be a castaway. I'm afraid sometimes I'll quit fighting. By the grace of God and Jesus Christ, it's my prayer that I'll never stop fighting and I'll never stop running. I may not win the race. I may not win the fights. But I guarantee you, I'm capable of continuing to fight and run, and so are every one of you. That's why when these church doors are open, when we're assembled as a local visible body, you need to be here. I'm giving you my word, and I'm giving it before the Lord. It's not that I want to say, look how many we have. We don't even keep attendance. It's not that. It's for your benefit. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you this, but that's what it is. Serving God is not some great mishmash of we're hopping down the glory trail just like Peter Cottontail. I have kept the faith. Now, this is something you can do. The first two, you can't. You can keep on fighting, but you won't win every battle. You can keep on running, but you won't win every race. But this you can do, and this is what God's going to hold you accountable for. I know sometimes, at least I think sometimes, maybe I misjudge you. I'm not even supposed to judge you, but sometimes I feel like that I'm so hopping on this faith all the time that some of you feel like, well, he's just gone to seed on it. I haven't gone to seed on it. The Bible, if anything, and I say this reverently, went to seed on it. This is something I can do. Paul said, I have kept the faith. Beloved, Jude 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I started off and I titled this, Seeking the Kingdom of God by Fighting, Finishing, and Keeping. Fighting the fight, finishing the race, keeping the faith. Now notice, as he commanded. Notice what Jude said. This was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who wrote through Jude. This is from God's Holy Spirit. Exhort ye that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Don't intermingle and mix with a bunch of people who don't teach and preach the truth of the Word of God. This is the faith once delivered to the saints. And God saw that every one of those First New Testament church members were scripturally baptized by the proper authority. That's not legalism. That's what God said to do. And the First New Testament churches thought of close communion. It was a close fellowship among them, brothers and sisters in Christ that were growing to love one another in a local, visible assembly. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what it means to contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. When you go over and you mingle with other faiths and you become good bosom buddies with them and they become a part of your close, personal, intimate fellowship, you're not contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints unless you talk to them about their error. If you care anything about them, you will. You say, well, I'll lose them as a friend. You'd be a lot better off losing them as a friend than going along with them. I have fought a good fight. 1 Timothy 4:7. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now that's one thing I can do by the power of God's Spirit within me. And by yielding to Him, I can do that. Can't live above sin. Can't win every race. But I can do this, and so can you. And if you don't do it, this is what God is going to get you for more than anything else at the judgment seat. Wait and see if I haven't told you the truth. I want you to notice, we're going to go back before this. And we're in 2 Timothy 4:7. That's where we started. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now we're going to go back and we're going to begin at the beginning of this chapter and work on down toward verse 7. We're going to go all the way back to 2 Timothy 4:1 and go down to verse 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the way I titled the heading? Seeking the kingdom of God by fighting, finishing, and keeping. Now notice, as he commanded. You want to see a command of God to Timothy? You say, well, that was just a Timothy. Yeah, it was him, and that's what he's supposed to preach, but you're supposed to listen to it, and you're supposed to practice it, and so was Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a charge of God to Timothy. And if God charged Timothy to do this, you better listen to a man who does it, that preaches this word. I don't preach around the word. I don't preach about the word. I preach the word, straight, forward, and direct. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing in his kingdom. If you think that I have any other motive in this other than your welfare, you are dead wrong. Because I know I'm going to be judged. I know the quick and the dead are going to be judged. And I know what the Bible teaches I'm going to be judged for. I'm not going to be judged so much for what I couldn't do, but I am going to be judged for what I could do. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom? Every one of us are going to have to stand before it. So am I. And we're going to have to give an account for whether or not we kept the faith. The faith is taste piston. It's not talking about what the faith that saved you. It's talking about a system of teaching and doctrine that was once delivered to the saints that after they were saved, they were supposed to follow. The first thing they were supposed to do was to be baptized. The next thing they were supposed to do was to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. Notice what he said. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And yet, there are some people today that say, all you missed everybody is talking about doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. It's like a man saying, well, I just want to be successful, but I don't want to go to public school. I don't want to learn my ABCs. I don't want to learn to count. I don't want to learn to do anything. I just want to have fun. Oh, I just want to have fun. And so I don't want to go to school. I just want to go down here and eat lollipops and hamburgers and all that stuff. Go through life. Never mind the hill of beans, but just go through. Don't teach me anything. But in the spiritual world, here's the way you keep the faith. Preach the word. How do you know what the faith is if your pastor doesn't preach it? You say, well, I really like this fella. He's got a smooth way about it, and he makes me feel good. He's got a lot of class to him. You don't. Well, I don't have a lot of class, and I don't always make people feel good. But the preaching that has affected me all my life has been the preaching that didn't make me feel good, but after it didn't make me feel good, and I repented, then it brought forth the peaceful fruit of righteousness, and I felt better than if somebody had just thrilled my flesh. Preach the word. The instant in season, out of season. Here's what the faith is. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You put up with it. The pastor put up with you while there's a change in your life, and you put up with him while he's changing. But that's teaching. You can keep the faith. The Bible teaches the faith. And if you don't keep it, that's something you can do. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to answer for it. Oh, you won't go to hell, but you're going to answer for it. Now, let's continue in 2 Timothy 4. Remember, we were verse 2 Timothy 4 and 7. And we started back on 1 through 4. Let's look at verse 3. Remember, we're talking about what Paul talked about when he said, I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Now look at verse 3 above it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want sound teaching. They want to make everybody feel good, and they want preachers that tickle their ears, and there are people in missionary Baptist churches who love these preachers to death because they're smooth, and they make you feel good about yourself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, nothing ever happened in my life unless God's Spirit made me feel bad about myself so that I could repent of what I was, turn to God, and let Christ change that attitude. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. People think, well, that's talking about this group and that group. No, it's talking about missionary Baptists. It's talking about people that give them what they want to hear. Don't make them feel good. Make them feel good about themselves. Let them mingle in with the world. Let them mingle in with all these other groups. We're all just one big happy family. Love, 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 love. And it sounds great, but it's a false set of love, and it is not of God. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You say, well, what does that mean, fables? Once upon a time, there were three little pigs, and each one built its own little house. And the wolf came, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he puffed, and he puffed. But it all turned out all right, didn't it? Finally, in the end, it was just one big happy scenario. And Goldilocks and the three bears. Remember the story, but remember in the end, Goldilocks was saved. They tell people stories about, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. And they stroke them and smooth them like they're cats. And they get them to purring. I really feel good about it. It's a fable is something that a preacher tells you that makes you feel good about yourself. All of you sitting here. Most of you here are saved, if not all of you. So if I preach a message on the cross, salvation, you relate to it and you love it. And you should, and so do I. So do I. And if I preach about securing the believer and show how merciful and gracious God is about security and how he'll never leave you nor forsake you, it draws you to Christ. You feel good about it. And so do I. I'm not putting that down. So do I. And then I tell you, don't worry, Jesus is going to come, you're going to be taken out of here, and everything's going to be great. That makes you feel good. So I'm not saying there aren't some things that aren't supposed to be preached that make you feel good. But a lot of these preachers, that's all they ever talk about. And they make you feel good about yourself and about your works. And about what you're doing in the community and how it's going around. And make you feel real good about yourself. But the truth of the matter is, that's a fable. Ye must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. They stroke you, they make you feel good, and you love them, and you hate preachers like me. And you can't stand me, and you find ways to hate me, and you try to find ways to justify your own attitude. And the truth is, I preach the word. But preaching the word has never been popular, and it never will be popular. Henceforth there is laid up for me. Ah, now all of a sudden we jump to the verse after 4 and 7. We've gone before it. In verse 4 and 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now look at what's next. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Who are these people that love his appearing? Let's go back to the first sheet. Seeking the kingdom of God by fighting, finish, and keeping as he commanded. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'll tell you who these people are. The context of these verses of Scripture is to endure sound doctrine, to take the word, to hear it, to believe it, and then to do as it commands. That's where the crown of righteousness comes from. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I love his appearing. Why? Because I'm open and honest with God and with you. I can't win the fight, all of it. I can't win the race. I can't finish first all the time. But I can keep the faith. I bow before God, and I stand before man, and I tell you at age 66, at this moment, I have kept the faith. I can do it. Now, I may depart the faith. That's possible. But at this moment, I have kept the faith. I may not have won the race. I may not have finished my course and won it. I may not have fought a good fight. But I have kept the faith. I have preached the word. I have taught the word. And if I died this moment, I have kept the faith. That's why I love his appearing. I'm not going to be hard hit at the judgment seat of Christ for preaching error or for mingling in with untruth. Revelation 3:11. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose your crown. Behold, I come quickly. My verbal modifier used as a descriptive adjective the manner of coming, sudden and abrupt. If he were to come right now, it would tickle me to death. I fought some lousy fights and lost. I've run some lousy races and lost. But I have kept on running and I have kept on fighting. But I have kept the faith. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. I have. I have not preached error. I have not corrupted the Lord's Supper. I have not preached baptism and accepted believers' baptism. I have preached salvation by grace, secure the believer. I have preached baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church. I have preached the Lord's Supper as a closed order to the church. I have preached the church as local and visible. I have kept the faith once delivered to the saints. And if Jesus came right now, I am faultless. I am blameless because I have preached it and I have taught it. Now, I've lost in the race. I've lost fights. You know, I've sinned, but God's forgiven me. And when Jesus comes back, you better be in God's church and you better be keeping those teachings, because I guarantee you, you're going to get hit harder for that than anything else, because that you can do. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. You've heard me preach this many times. That has to be the millennial temple, because there's no temple in the heaven age. It isn't talking about standing there like a two before nailed to the wall where you can't move. It means a permanent fixture. It means like a pillar in a temple that's the last thing that falls down. All the roof falls in, but the pillars stand. It means, and doesn't mean you won't ever be able to go out of a temple. It means that you'll be a permanent fixture. That position will never be lost. It's because you kept the faith in this life. It's because you fought a fight, you kept on fighting, you kept on running, and you kept the faith. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of God, which is New Jerusalem. This is God's promise to you, that relationship that you develop right here in this life and your faithfulness and keeping the faith now in this life, keep on running, keep on fighting, that once you get into the millennial reign, you're going to be in the immediate presence of Christ. You're going to be where he is, in the millennial temple in Jerusalem. You're going to be in the immediate proximity of where Jesus is. You're going to be working directly from him, for him. And also, he has a promise here, don't worry, if you get in that position and you are in the temple, one day you're going to live in the holy city, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. This is clearly teaching that the relationship that you develop with Christ here, the fellowship you develop with Christ here, is going to extend into the millennial reign, right on into the heaven age. It all counts, and it all happens right here. And I do not intend to lose my crown by departing from the faith once delivered to the saints. Verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's written to church members. If you're not a church member, you need to be a church member. The Bible's very clear on that. It doesn't save you, doesn't keep you saved, doesn't take you to heaven. But it's what God meant for you to be. The Bible's very clear on that. So if you're not a member of one of the Lord's churches and you're saved, I can't put it any plainer than this. You need to join a church. And you need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teaching, breaking of bread and prayers. That's what God has in mind for you. And that's what God's going to judge you for. That's what God's going to judge me for. 1 Timothy 3:14, 15. This is what a Christian life's all about. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You need to learn how God wants you to behave yourself in the house of God, how he wants you to conduct yourself. I use these two ladies all the time. I'll use them again. How fast do you think she could run? She's lost a lot of fights in her life against the flesh. So has Sister Barnes. And they've lost some races. But is she still running? Is she still fighting? They're both still running, and they're both still fighting. You think sometimes that I get on to you because you don't come to church because it's just a part of my job? Good grief! That's something you can do! And I'm encouraging you to do what you can do! They're doing what they can do. She keeps on fighting, she keeps on running, and both of these ladies have kept the faith. That's all that God asks from you. Keep on fighting, keep on running, and keep the faith. And they know how to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Sister Barnes, you pray for me. You pray for me, Sister George. You think it does any good? Well, don't give me that hope, so it does. But when you pray for me, God just does it. Whenever you pray, he listens. You've been around a long time. You got a thing on your wall that says, praise the Lord anyhow. You've lost OD. You've both had a tough life. You've lost husband. When you pray for me, God listens to you. I'd a whole lot rather have you praying for me than some of the others here. Matter of fact, I'd rather have you praying for me than me praying for myself. They are, in God's eyes, two people that are still fighting, they're still running, and they are still keeping the faith. And by cracky, you ought to take these two ladies, you ought to look at them, and you ought to say, well, I can't live above sin, and I'm going to lose a race, but I'm going to be faithful in my church attendance. Because I guarantee you, when they get before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to find out how important that was. Because that's something that you can do. Hebrews 11, 10, 21. I left out verse 22 because I ran out of space on the end of this paper. And having a high priest over the house of God, you've got a high priest over the local church, over the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's how you keep the faith. You keep the faith. Let us hold faith the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. How do you do that? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How can you be encouraged, and how can you encourage one another to provoke one another, stimulate one another to love and to good works if you don't ever see each other and you bail out and you quit running and you quit fighting and you drop out of church? And I guarantee you, you're not keeping the faith. You're not keeping the faith when you're out of church. And you're not keeping the faith when you're not fighting. And you're not keeping the faith when you're not running. Here's when you're not keeping the faith. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And if you don't think God's going to judge you for your church attendance, you've got another thing coming. Because that's something you can do. You can't win every battle with the flesh. You can't win every race. But you can keep on running. You can keep on fighting. And you can be faithful in your church attendance. I don't want you faithful in church attendance because of your money. Or because I can say, look how many people came. I want you faithful because I love you and the Spirit of Christ in me loves you. And that's the one thing you can do. I got one more sheet, and it's only two shakes of a sheep's tail, so we're going to get out of here maybe 3 minutes late. Let me reiterate what I've said. I have to answer the Lord for what I'm preaching here, and I'm ready. If I get zapped, I get zapped. I have kept. Notice I put a colon at the end. I have kept. I have kept on fighting. Well, I've been fighting now for a long time. I fight against the flesh every morning, fight till I go to bed at night. I have kept on running. I haven't dropped out of ministry. I haven't dropped out of church. I'm still running. I'm capable of losing a fight. I'm capable of getting out of the race. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, it's my prayer that I'll keep on fighting and keep on running by the power of his Spirit. I have kept the faith. God doesn't ask you to climb Mount Everest. He just wants you to keep on fighting against the flesh, keep on running the race. And you can't run the race in the wrong lane. And the right lane is the local New Testament church. And you can keep the faith. Look, I love you. I love you like you don't even understand. I never thought I could love people. I always had great difficulty with it because of my flesh. But for the first time in my life, the Spirit of God has gotten a hold of my heart, and I actually, finally love people. God knows it took a long time. And I really am interested in your spiritual welfare. I didn't win every fight. I guess maybe I'm putting words in Paul's mouth, and if I'm wrong, forgive me. But I really think what Paul is trying to get across is this. I didn't win every fight. I didn't win every race. But I did keep the faith. God's going to judge you, not for what you couldn't do, but for what you could do. You can't keep the faith, the system of teaching and doctrine, outside of faithfulness in God's local New Testament church. What is it that God wants from you? What is a Christian life? Acts 2:41. In Acts 2:40, they believed and they got baptized. And here they are. And this is a Christian life. It's not climbing Mount Everest. It's not getting on your bicycle and witnessing to everybody in town. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching. I'm doing that. By the grace of God, I'll continue to. Breaking of bread. When we take the Lord's Supper together, we take it as one local visible body. We take it as one loaf. We take it as a body in unison, in doctrine, and in truth. We take it in love and in thanksgiving for the body, the torn flesh of Christ, and for the price that he paid, that he gave his life for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. This last week, you all prayed for me. Brother, I'm going to tell you, God answered those prayers. Why did you pray for me? I believe it was because you loved me. And I believe it was the love of God in your hearts that caused me to pray. Those prayer requests list out there, don't let them just become a piece of paper on the wall. Don't just let it be something you casually look at. Pick up one of those little pieces of paper, take it home and look at it, and pray for those people. Now, what is it that keeps the faith? And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and breaking of bread and prayer. You can do that. You know what I did? I left fellowship out. And in fellowship. My goodness gracious, I did that this morning. I did it from memory. You know what fellowship is? Fellowship is a sharing. It's a sharing of the love that Christ Jesus placed in us. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. That's what keeps the faith. Right now, I'm in fellowship with Sister George and I'm in fellowship with Sister Barnes because we're here together in this church and we come together to fellowship with one another. You both love me and I love you. That's fellowship. But how can we say we love one another if we don't come together and assemble? How can we actually say we love one another if we stay apart? That's why there are things that God gave us we can do. It's so easy. After you get saved, just be faithful in God's local New Testament church and God will take care of all the rest. Today we've got a bunch of hype going around that you've got to climb the moon to please God. You just do what God said, where God said to do it. He'll take care of all the rest. As Johnny comes, as the pianist comes, as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's Word. I think by now, after all these years here at this church, it's pretty plain what God wants. God wants you to be saved. I can't save you, but Jesus can. You come trusting Jesus, he'll take care of it. Maybe you're ashamed to come down an aisle. Go to your parents, talk to them. Tell them you want to be saved. Let them deal with you. It'd be a whole lot better. It'd be a personal thing between you and your parents. Maybe you're already saved. Maybe you've never been baptized. I don't have to tell you you need to be baptized. After all these years here, you know that. God's not asking you when you join a church to climb Mount Everest. He's not asking you to be super Christian. He's just asking you to assemble and be with the rest of the body and worship him in spirit and in truth. That's all God's asking. So if you're saved and unbaptized, why don't you come this morning and submit to baptism? And if you're already a member of this church, why don't you start being regular in your attendance? You say, well, I don't think that's necessary. Well, it's not necessary to go to heaven, but it is necessary to please God. What number, John?
377. 377.